The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Good evening and welcome to From the Median, where we are concerned with the middle ground, not just to understand both sides of an argument, but also to awaken the consciences of those who are neutral or indifferent to this, the greatest civil rights movement of all times, the pro-life movement. Listeners, as always, wonderful to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining. I have a brand new guest joining us, and we're going to be talking about a topic that I think is near and dear to many of your hearts. I know certainly as a grandmother, it's a topic that I am very concerned about. And I think all of you, doesn't matter whether you're a young mom or even just a student in school or a grandmother like myself or a grandfather or whatever, you are all concerned about what's going on right now. My guest right now joining me, and I cannot say thank you enough to her, as I've just said, is Tiffany Justice. Tiffany is with Moms for Liberty. She is a wife and the mom of four school-aged children. She's the co-founder of this wonderful organization called Moms for Liberty. And I think, you know, as we start talking and realizing how much work Tiffany has put into this, you're going to be so grateful to her for what she's done and for the dedication that she's put into this issue. Moms for Justice, for Liberty rather, their mission is dedicated to fighting for the survival of America by unifying, educating, and empowering parents to defend their parental rights at all levels of government. They are just amazing people, and I'm so thrilled that Tiffany's been able to join us. Welcome to the program, Tiffany.
Thank you for having me. And it's so funny. Yes, the name of the organization is Moms for Liberty. My last name is Justice. It's my real last name. I've had people ask me before, oh, is that your real last name? It is. 20 years ago this year, I married my husband and I took his last name. But it no doubt has it been a wonderful last name to have in this fight for the future of America with liberty and justice for all. So it's been a fun thing to kind of navigate through.
Absolutely. You know, I watched a couple of your, and I have seen them before, but your interviews with various programs, and the Cuomo one is probably the most famous. It was just like, oh my goodness, I wish I had the courage and the strength and the confidence that you do when you go up against these very, very liberal, you know, sort of hosts that really are trying to go after you and to shut you down. But, and I'll put up the interview, folks, on our website so you can watch it and see what an amazing job that Tiffany did in defending our children. You got involved in all of this. Why, Tiffany?
You know, I'm a mom and I ran for school board in my own community because I had advocated for my kids' school and had done so successfully. We needed to renovate the school and we were able to make that happen. And then I saw the power of parents when they got involved in public education, and I wanted to try to increase the involvement that parents had across my county in their children's education. And so that's why I got involved. Tina Deskovich is the co-founder of Moms for Liberty. Same story, even though we didn't know each other. We both were on a similar pathway in life as moms working. And then you get elected and you get to see behind the education curtain. Yep. You know, you get to see that the unions have an undue influence in our children's education. Undue influence is I think that's an understatement. Yep. They have huge, huge influence. And then also just in general in the school district, it seems like the district works for the adults, not for the kids. So American public education has become a jobs program. And so then COVID happened and all of America got to see behind the education curtain. And Tina and I realized that it was just the moment to help moms and dads and community members, grandparents, as you said, to be effective advocates, not to yell at a building, not to yell at a board member, but to get involved, to really understand the way that policy is made and to build relationships so that they can have influence in the policies that are passed. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what is happening across the country.
You know, and it's very interesting. I got very involved in my local school board here, even though I'm a grandmother. You know, I couldn't sit back and do nothing. It was just like, no, we have to do something when we saw what was happening. And when we saw that exactly what you said, that it was actually the school unions that were the teachers unions that were bringing things in and implementing programs. And, you know, they brought in an expert to teach to train the trainers sort of thing. And it was the most when you looked at this woman's website and what she was going to be training them at, that was when we said, what on earth are you doing?
Right. Well, and so an interesting thing is happening right now in America. And it's not unique in the history of the world. When you look at Mao and China and what happened during the Great Leap Forward, as Mao liked to call it, many people don't realize that schools were actually closed for 2 years. And teachers went through what Mao called re-education. And so those professional development trainings that you're seeing across the United States is re-education of teachers. And so we did, in fact, close schools, right? Teachers are being taught and trained to not give children practicable skills in the classroom, but to awaken what Paulo Freire, a Brazilian Marxist, called a critical consciousness in the child. So this is why I often say people will hear, turn our children into little social justice warriors. Could you at least teach them how to read? And you know, sometimes people laugh, but the truth of the matter is that there is a Red Guard being built in America. Children are being, you know, divided from each other in school, and a wedge is being driven between the parent and the child using our school system, and that needs to stop.
You particularly went after, let everybody know that you're in Florida. It's the,
yes.
You know, so you've got a very good governor down there who has really, you know, just embraced the, just taking on the revolution, our revolution, let's put it that way. Not the other revolution, but he really has gone out and said, no, we're not going to do these things. We're not going to put these books into the schools. We're not going to allow these DEI, programs to come in, but has been soundly criticized by the rest of the country, the liberals in the rest of the country. And so you've got sort of caught up in all of that.
I would say that we really did help Governor DeSantis to find his way when it came to parental rights. You know, the Parents' Bill of Rights, it took three times going through our legislature to pass. It's something that, you know, Tina and I were very involved on here in Florida. And, you know, we're happy to say that the third time it went through, the governor signed it into law. And in 2021, we had a Parents' Bill of Rights. But the truth of the matter is that it was ignored for quite some time. I just don't think people realized what a threat we are under as far as the fundamental right to direct the upbringing of our children. It is the greatest threat that we have to the future of America. The fact that the government, the state, thinks that they know better than you for your own child. And so our slogan at Moms for Liberty, what I said on the dais when I was serving on school board, was we do not co-parent with the government. And it's just time for American parents to realize your parental rights do not stop at the classroom door. I do not care what school your child goes to, public, private, your parental rights do not stop at the classroom door.
Absolutely. Very well said. And that's, you know, unfortunately, and I think more and more people are recognizing this, as more and more private schools have become dependent on funding from the government. This is also going on in private schools. And, you know, I had somebody on my show a little while back, I think it was last week or the week before, who said, and you know, what's happening is that our teachers, it doesn't matter where they teach, they are being trained in the universities that are teaching them these deviant ways of teaching our children.
Yeah, that's correct. And it's not just America. I mean, it's happening all over the world. You know, Tina Deskovich went out to London for Jordan Peterson's ARC convention. She wanted to see what it was about. And she was speaking with someone from Kenya that was discussing some of the comprehensive sex education that's being taught in the schools. So I think what's important for people to understand is that this is very much a global movement through the United States, through UNESCO, this idea of our children being global citizens, this idea of equity rather than equal treatment. You know, anyone's familiar, if you want to look up the Sustainable Development Goals by UNESCO, 17 goals that really the United Nations and the United States is playing a huge part in trying to implement across the world. We've got some big issues that we're dealing with. And in the meantime, our kids are doing the worst in school that they ever have. And so,
ever.
And so, you know, it's just unacceptable. You only have 17% of Black students reading proficiently in fourth grade, 21% of Hispanic students, 43% of white students. Reading on grade level is atrocious. And there is absolutely no reason for it, especially considering the amount of money that we're spending in public education, with over $840 billion being spent in 2023. I'm headed to New York for a town hall this Thursday night in Manhattan. We're going to talk about New York City public education, where they spend $40,000 per student. Parents, think about that. $40,000 a year per student. Imagine what you could do with that type of money. And when you think about private school tuition, which is far, far below $40,000, you know, this idea, I mean, where is all the money going?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And I think that that's, as you said, I mean, the whole system is geared towards job creation for adults, and then security for those adults, and then what makes them those, in many instances anyway, you know, what makes those adults most comfortable during their workday. I mean, so much of it is not focused on our children.
And we want teachers to be paid well. They have an incredibly important job. The problem is that the unions really aren't advocating for the teachers. We're not seeing teacher salaries go up the way that we're seeing administrative costs going up.
Exactly.
And so, you know, the teachers' unions really do not represent the teachers anymore. They have become the foot soldiers for the progressive far left. President Biden relies on them in a lot of different ways, for money and for activity. And so they want to continue to safeguard that relationship. But when you put our kids in the middle, our children's education and our children's future and the future stability of our country in the middle, parents are going to fight.
Yep.
And nobody is going to fight for anything like a mom is going to fight
for
her child.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about what is being taught. Because I think, Tiffany, I think that's, you know, you mentioned COVID earlier on. And I think that was one of the things that people would, they just went, what's on that, you know, iPad of yours? What on earth are you watching? What are you doing? You know? So
yeah,
I think that was a
huge
thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we can dive into this at another time, but there's been a lot of influence in American education in the way that things have been taught in public schools, with critical theory, critical pedagogy, this very critical lens through which everything is being taught. And so it's been interesting to watch what the effect of that is on our children, which is, you know, you see increased numbers in mental health and distress, right?
Mm-hmm.
The kids are not okay. And so you have to ask yourself, why is that? Well, kids are not being taught to read, to write, to do math. They're not being given practicable skills. Meritocracy, working hard and being rewarded for working hard, has gone out the window. And so now it really doesn't matter how hard you work or how hard you don't work. You are basically categorized into identity groups, right? Where certain identity groups are seen as oppressed and certain identity groups are seen as oppressors. And that is creating a lot of division and unrest in our schools. And our children are being taught that America is a systemically broken country. Mm-hmm. And so just this increased negativity, you think about the climate agenda, fear-mongering around that, the way the children are being told that, you know, the weight of the world and the future of the world and our climate is on their shoulders, right? Imagine being 5 or 6 years old and having that type of information being pushed down on you. To take it one step further, what we're seeing now is this idea of gender ideology or queer theory being entered into the classroom. This is how you have drag queens doing story hours in kindergarten classrooms. They very quickly and easily say in their working documents that they want to leave glitter in the carpet. They are trying to introduce children into alternate ways of being and knowing. But I don't, a man dressed up as a woman reading to kindergartners, why? Why is this necessary or appropriate?
Yeah, exactly.
Children in kindergarten, first, second grade, and on up are being taught in some classrooms across the United States of America, like in Montgomery County, Maryland, or in New Jersey, that they could have been born in the wrong body.
Yep.
They are literally being taught that they could be a boy or a girl, or not a boy or a girl, or a boy and a girl. And this is being taught in the classroom. And so how destabilizing
Yeah,
for exactly a five-year-old, right? Exactly. To have a teacher telling them, first of all, what a horrible message to tell a child that they're born in the wrong body. And there's so much hate and self-loathing that comes through this idea of gender ideology. But to introduce these types of ideas to children in public schools, and then to go take it one step further and to let you know, and I hope your listeners understand, there are private conversations happening behind closed doors between teachers and students, where teachers are agreeing to call students a different name when they're at school, use different pronouns when they're at school, putting them on a path of social transition, which leads to medical transition. And this idea that somehow you could change your sex from man to woman, which we all know is absolutely ridiculous. That is being taught and supported in our public schools. And the federal government is supporting that.
It's paying for it. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes,
unbelievable. Ma'am. So now, how did you have been fairly, very successful in bringing this to the attention of the legislature and getting laws passed and getting constitutional changes to, you know, having a document put out there that supports moms and dads and that kind of stuff. What would you say to the listeners that are listening right now? How do we do this?
Our mission statement at Moms for Liberty is to unify, educate, and empower parents to defend their parental rights at all levels of government. And that's what we've done. You ask how we've been so successful. It's the moms and the dads and the community members on the ground. Our members are the most amazing people. They love America. They love our country. They love all children. And they want to see children's full potential being unfolded in American public school classrooms. And so really, we've been able to unify people, bring them together in chapters across the United States. We have over 300 chapters in 48 states with over 120,000 members. And those members are effective advocates. They are meeting every month in their own community, they're the watchdogs of that local school board, right? They are going to the meetings, they're paying attention to the budget, they're watching the policies, they're serving on committees, they're reviewing instructional materials, but then they're taking it one step further. I think during COVID, what people realized was that who holds the accountability for this decision, right? We were asking ourselves that question constantly. We don't like this policy. Who holds the authority to change it? Sometimes it's your school board. Sometimes it's your county commission or your mayor. Sometimes it's your state legislature. And so our moms in states across the United States have come together across the state, and they now have formed legislative committees. And we support them to be able to go to their legislators, have conversations, build relationships, make sure those legislators know the biggest issues that are impacting families on the ground. And then we help to work to give them solutions, policies, language, support to get good policies passed that protect American families.
It takes time. And you know, I can tell you, I have so many stories that people come to me with and talk to me about in communities where they, moms and dads and, you know, and whoever has gone into the school boards and they have started to take them on. However, I will tell you that I have some very, you know, sort of almost scary stories about the teachers unions, the teachers, community, some of the community members who have actually, you know, called out and started doxing those that oppose what they're doing. They actually get out there.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Have you found that anywhere? I mean, we've had this in Ohio. We've had this in several places where they start doxing you. So
yeah, no, it is happening. It absolutely is. And it's really unfortunate. It's interesting. You know, I was just speaking to a mom in North Carolina, where a school district changed the policy around being able to question content that's being taught in schools. And they only want parents who have children in schools or teachers who are teaching in the schools to be able to give comment. I can understand why they might want to do that. But the truth of the matter is that when you have a child that's dealing with this issue in their classroom or dealing with this, you know, dealing with gender ideology, for example, trapped in this gender confusion, as the parent, you're trying to safeguard your own child. And so, you know, it is difficult sometimes. There is no doubt about it. A couple things. First of all, the unified part is very important. They may be able to pick off a parent or two or three. But if you've got 50 parents that you've been able to pull together that are all saying, this is not okay with us, we do not want this in our children's education, it's much more difficult for a school district to kind of give you a hard time or to single out your child. It is a reality. Here is the thing.
Yeah.
Now is the time to stand. This is not going to get easier. Parents, community members, you need to understand that if we do not take a stand now, while we still have our ability to have our voices heard, this will only continue to get worse, and the doxing will become worse, and we can't have that. There is no future for America with that. So yes, the doxing is real, but you know, I mean, if you're a mom or a dad and your kid's future is at stake, our country's future is at stake, it's a privilege to fight for this country. Exactly. We have had so many amazing people that have died fighting for this country. So, you know, I would say dust yourself off, you know, get up, brush yourself off, recognize people are going to say a lot of crazy stuff, and you just need to stand up and keep speaking the truth, and we will find our way forward.
And I think, honestly, as you mentioned, a very, very good point is there is safety in numbers with this kind of thing. So if we've got a good, strong support system behind us, and we can anticipate when we're going to get the pushback from the opposition, and we can counter it very quickly, I think we've got to just get smarter. We've got to work smarter as we go through this, for sure. Absolutely. What about, and we've got about four or five minutes left. I did want to get into what you are uncovering with regards to this, the sexual programs in our school systems. Wow.
Yeah, comprehensive sex education is absolutely vile, honestly. I mean, I think people have absolutely no idea. You know, you talk about sex education in school. Yeah, I think that there is a place for sex education
in school. And just to interrupt you there, but is this part of the DEI? I mean, this comprehensive sex education is also part of the DEI.
It's all part of the same. My friend James Lindsay likes to say the issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution. Yeah. And so, you know, I will just say, you know, we have this socialist communist agenda that is going across the United States of America, becoming more and more open every day. When we were in Philadelphia, we had protesters protesting Moms for Liberty out on the street, and they were Democratic Socialists in the Young Communist League. So make no mistake of who our enemies are. They show themselves all of the time. This isn't like a tinfoil hat moment. They truly do want to transform America. Comprehensive sex education is wild. If you haven't looked at it before, go Google it. CSE, Comprehensive Sexuality Education. This is not the sex education that you remember in school. It is not information about reproductive biology. This is an early morning show, so we'll be careful about how we talk about it. But abstinence no longer is, you know, if you have sex, you can get pregnant, you should use birth control, perhaps you wait, and you don't have sex, right? It's now alternate modes of sex. And you have teachers talking about all kinds of different sexual positions, self-pleasure, all kinds of things in the classroom. There's also something called the sexual citizenship of children, that children have a right to sexual citizenship. That's being taught as well. Of course, gender ideology, part of this CSE component, comprehensive sexuality education, not confined to America, ladies and gentlemen, all over the world. This is being pushed. This is one of the sustainable development goals of UNESCO. And so, you know, we had pulled out of UNESCO as a country. Obama stopped paying, I think, in 2013. And then President Trump actually pulled us out of UNESCO. Well, President Biden has put us back in. We pay about 20% of the budget of UNESCO, and they're happy to have us there, of course, paying. But this is the kind of stuff that filters into our education system, and the NEA and the unions have curriculum that they align to these SDGs, and the comprehensive sex education is very important, blurring the boundaries between adult and child, and that's where we've really had it. You know, as a country, we have all collectively understood that some things are for kids and some things are for adults. We understood the idea of age appropriateness, right? Yeah. Even the American Holocaust Museum has an exhibit, and they say sixth grade and up is fine. They have a separate exhibit for fourth and fifth grade. And then below fourth grade, they really don't suggest children going through the exhibit. There's a reason for that. Yeah. Children's minds work differently than the minds of adults. But it seems like in American public education, people have forgotten that, or want us to forget that. And so, again, you know, movie ratings, all of the things, we know that kids are different than adults. And we just need to stand in that truth and understand that, you know, children do not need to be sexualized at school. And when children are sexualized at young ages, it really does affect their development, their physical development, their mental development, and their ability to navigate through the world. So
and the culture
has to be stopped. Yeah, and the culture. Yeah.
And the culture. Last thought from you, Tiffany Justice, is what do you say to parents who are listening to this right now?
You are the best expert of your own child. And there may be doctors or associations or teachers that are going to tell you something. And as soon as you get that spidey sense inside of you, that feeling that you don't think this is right for your child, trust yourself. You are the best expert for your own child. And Moms for Liberty is here. If you have questions, concerns, you need resources, go to momsforliberty.org. Check out our website. Reach out to our moms on social media. We are here to help each other to right the ship of America.
Thank you so much, Tiffany Justice, for what you've done. Moms for Justice, remember that. I'll put that up on our website too. God bless you lots for all you're doing and all of your team. God bless.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. Don't go anywhere. I will be back with you right after this very short break with another world-class, inspiring guest.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.